Luke 2. I said this morning, I have two Christmas sermons I'm going to preach this year, one tonight and one next Sunday morning. This one is just a very bit unique, and I want to honestly help everybody tonight. Luke 2, we're going to read the first 12 verses together, and I want you to read them in responsive reading with me. Verses 1 through 12, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Of course, we know this as the Christmas story. And here we go. And it came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And let's pray. Father, we need you tonight. Holy Spirit, please take the truth and burn it deep in our hearts, our minds. And would you change our life with the truth that you have for us tonight, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Undoubtedly, the most well-known, most well-published birth is that of Jesus Christ. You have to understand, for over 2,000 years, it's been talked about. It's been printed in every country, every language, every people group, every culture knows about the birth of Christ, literally. Not only that, but for 4,000 years before then, it had been prophesied and talked about that it was coming. 6,000 years, all focused on that birth. Now, we know the story how Jesus was born in the manger in Bethlehem. Jesus did not become man in Bethlehem's manger. He put on flesh that could die. He was always the man part of the Godhead. If you went back to Genesis chapter 1, and in the beginning, God made man in our image, in the likeness of God made he him, both male and female. Jesus was the man part of God. He was what we would call the human part, so to speak. He put on a body that could die because Jesus could not die in his heavenly body. So he had to be robed in flesh. John chapter 1, verse number 14. And the Word was made flesh, not man. It was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. See, he had to live in a human body that was susceptible to sin as your body and my body is. You have to understand something. Jesus faced the same temptations you and I face. He did it, though, without yielding to sin. And he had to live righteousness in a sinful body that could die to pay our sin debt. Now, he was born to live our righteousness and pay our sin debt. He was born to live our righteousness and died to pay our sin debt. Everybody understand that? Now, hang on here. He was not born in popularity. He was born in obscurity. We celebrate it around the world today, but the day that it took place, virtually nobody knew it happened. We humans now celebrate his birth by buying everything known to man for each other, spending billions and billions of dollars to give to each other, and yet so few will even mention the name of Jesus Christ at Christmas. By the way, I want you to I'm gonna get something off my chest here. When it says Jesus as Savior, it's S-A-V-I-O-U-R. S-A-V-I-O-R is an English version of it, meaning anybody. It is only I-O-U-R in reference to Jesus Christ. I get a little ticked off that all the versions of the Bible are changing that. The Christmas cards are changing that. When it's in reference to Jesus, it's I-O-U-R, and that's the only time that it's for that. Just so you know, that was free, not even in my notes. All right? Now, I am not against giving gifts at Christmas. I am against people being unwise and spending money they don't have to spend on gifts. I think that's unwise no matter what time of the year it is. too many of our people in our culture today want to spend a lot of money they don't have so that they have the appearance of having money to give gifts. Can I tell you something? If your pride's that inflated, get right with God and get over it. It's not going to hurt you not to give expensive things. The giving of gifts has turned into, look what I got for you, instead of, it's all about him. See, he was born in near total obscurity. He was not born with royal announcements. He wasn't put on public display at the palace. He wasn't written about in all the newspapers and tabloids and TV stations. Wasn't put on CNN, Fox, ABC, CBS, NBC. Matter of fact, they get as far away from him as they can. He was born in a barn, not even a hotel. Yes. He was born in a barn because it was the only shelter available to his parents. There were no doctors. There were no nurses to welcome him. Just some livestock. Chickens, horses, donkeys, camels, possibly cows, doubtful pigs.
Right.
Jews didn't generally have those. Some of you got that one by slow freight. He came to be Savior because he cannot be your king until you're born into royalty. Now listen to this statement very carefully. He was the King of Kings. But he did not come as the King of Kings. He came as Savior. You can't be a child of the King until you're born into his kingdom. He had to come as Savior first. Now, how do you do that? You get saved. Once you get born again, you're a child of God, you're a child of the King, then he can start becoming your King. He came to be Savior so that we could be saved and be able to rule with him one day. He did not come to rule over us. The Jews were looking for him to set up as king. We have gotten almost, as Christians, into a Hebrew mentality that we have to make him king of our life. You'll read gospel tracts every once in a while, and you'll hear people preach, and they'll say, you have to make him Lord and Savior. That's a lie. He's already Lord. He has to be your Savior before he can become your Lord. He has to be your Savior before he can become your King. You can't make him Lord to become Savior. You have to have him as Savior before you can allow him to be Lord of your life. Lord and King are very closely related words there. And by the way, anytime in Scripture, you always see him as Savior and King. It's never King and Savior. He's always Savior first, King second. Now, we're getting somewhere. Here's where the sermon starts. Take your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to quickly read about 6 or 7 verses here. Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm going to start reading in verse 22. And you're going to have to follow quickly because I'm going to read fast. Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 29. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, watch this, even as Christ is the head the church. And he is the Savior, I-O-U-R, of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives, watch this, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Now I want you to notice something. Verse number 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, God likens the love in marriage and the love that we have for people to the love that Christ had for the church. I want you to know something. Jesus started the church, but he didn't start it as king. He started it as Savior. He didn't start it to be the dictator. He started it to be the servant. And God says in our marriages, I am to love her even as Christ loved the church, watch this, and gave himself for it. How did he give himself? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. In other words, he came in Bethlehem's manger as Savior. He came as servant. The Bible says in the book of Luke, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. It didn't say he came to rule and to dictate over that which was lost. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. This means we're to follow his example to us. We're to love as a servant or as a Savior and not lead like a king. Now, listen to this very carefully. When we act as king, we're not to rule over like the world would. Can I tell you something? Jesus, when he comes back to set up the millennium, we are coming back to rule and reign with him over those that did not get saved. Now watch this. When we got saved, he didn't say, let me rule over you. He said, I'll be your Savior, and you follow me. You follow my lead, everything will be all right. The Christian marriage, the Christian home, is to be about as have the same love or even as Christ loved the church. It's not to be a Hitler or a Stalin or a dictator demanding and threatening those who must follow or else. Too many of our leaders in today's society... I want to laugh every time I hear the Democrats, barking about, oh, this new budget, it's going to cause the Republicans to lose the House. Then they ought to be voting for it, not against it. Nancy Pelosi ought to put her pen to her mouth and vote for it if it's going to get rid of the Republicans, don't you think?
Yes, sir.
Just thought I'd throw that. That's not in my notes either. You know, we must lead as a servant first, so that we can rule with, not rule over. My job is to love my wife and to rule with her, not love her and rule over her. I'm supposed to work with her, not be this mean, nasty dictator saying, bless God, you don't like it, tough toenails, we're doing it this way. She'll follow that, but she's not going to enjoy it. We're supposed to rule and reign together. We're one. Everybody got that? Here we go. Jesus came in Bethlehem's manger to serve or to give himself for us in love, not to be king. We'll come back with him at the end of the tribulation to rule and reign with him, not to be ruled over by him. Did you know we're not going to be ruled over? We're going to rule with. We'll be in subjection to him, but we'll do that because we've loved him and served him. We live here to earn our rank or our crowns in heaven. I preached a whole sermon on this a few years ago. Crowns are given to positions of authority. And you'll receive your crowns in heaven by what you earned here on earth. That is your rank in the kingdom during the millennium. Some are going to clean toilets. Some might be sweeping streets. I plan on doing a little bit more than that. How high up? Doesn't matter to me. I just want to do everything I can for God. Yes, sir. I want to get as close to Him as I can. I'd like to rule as high up as I can, not because I want a position. I just want to be close to Him. You see, we, in our love relationships, are to serve in love so that we can rule together, not rule over. I love my children, but my job isn't to rule over them. It's to rule with them. One of my boys, Josh, called yesterday. And I realized he's in Miami, Florida, working. He doesn't have to do one stinking thing I say. He's 20, how many years old? Six, I think. 26 years old. I have no idea how old they are. My wife remembers, I don't. Can I tell you something? He doesn't have to do what I say, but every once in a while he'll call and say, Dad, can I get some advice? Sure. I talk to him like I do any other preacher and say, now you can do what you want, but this is what I would do. This is what I have done. This is what I did that didn't work. This is what I did that did work. Adjust it. Do what you need. You say, why? We're ruling together. I'm not ruling over him. You know, I have no say-so in him. I texted my daughter-in-law this morning. Told her that my wife and I loved her and we're so glad that she's part of our family. I got the sweetest text back and she said, Dad, it's so good to be in a family where you're wanted and it's not in-laws, we're just family. I said, yeah, you got the hard job, and we warned you about that. We warned you not to marry him, but you're stuck with us. You know, we're so full of pride that being king is more important to us humans than being servant. Too many people want to be the boss and not be the servant. Can I tell you who the best bosses are? Those that serve. I'll tell you who the greatest generals in world history are the ones that went out and fought on the field with the soldiers. Yes. Guarantee it. I've talked to people that fought with Patton. I mean, they fought shoulder to shoulder with Patton. They knew him. I've talked to many of them. They said, oh, what a great soldier. What a great general. He'd be out there with a gun. He'd be shooting with you. They would use the term, he wasn't a paper general. Say, what's a paper general? That was Ike. Ike was a paper general sitting in an office somewhere looking at pieces of paper, telling everybody what to do based on the pieces of paper. General Marshall, another field general, great leader, Omar Bradley, great leaders that were out in the field fighting with the guys. Say why? They were willing to dodge the bullets with the guys that were taking the shots. And they earned respect because they served their men. Now, listen to this statement. We need to learn from Jesus and be the servant first, not the king first. As we serve in love, we should love and serve enough that people want to rule with us, not be rolled over by us. My goal is not to rule over anybody. My goal is to say, as the scripture says, follow me as I follow Christ. Let's just jump in and serve God and have fun with this thing and see what God can do. Yes. If somebody can't help today, great. We'll find somebody else. If not, I'll ask you again later. Might not work today, no problem. How about tomorrow? How about next week? How about next month? Something you can do. You don't hurt my feelings. I don't think I've ever asked somebody to do something and say, well, you've got to do this for me. Mm-mm. Can you do it? Great. If not, no's not a bad answer. I can handle that. Now, God tells us to love even as Christ. He was the head or the leader, but not the bully and dictator. He came to serve, not be king. How about we learn to serve those we love instead of expecting them to be serving us? Ouch. Too many times we grow a little in leadership and we expect everybody underneath us to serve us. my children weren't my slaves. They were my kids. They were taught to serve by us serving them and them learning to serve other people. I taught my kids how to serve. They watched me serve their mother. My boys will take care of their mama. If something were to happen to me, I don't worry about who's going to take care of my wife. One of my boys will, for sure. They'll probably fight each other over who gets to do it. You say, why? Because they know how to take care of the mama. They also know how to take care of their grandma because they watched me take care of my grandma. And my kids call my mom virtually every week. I wonder where they learned that. They call her parents. Say, where'd they learn that? Watching somebody that served. I never told them they ever had to do that. And I'm not bragging on me. I'm just showing you, you don't have to make them serve you if you'll learn to serve them. Do you know I still answer my boys yes, sir, and no, sir? You know they still answer me yes, sir, and no, sir? I still say yes, ma'am, to my daughter. Not because I answer to her, but I want her to understand the respect going both directions. How about we give ourselves as Jesus gave himself for us? How about we not focus on the things that we want? How about we focus on the needs and desires of those that we love more? How about we love Jesus and serve as he did instead of us wanting to be served? Too many of us want everybody, you know, we come home and we expect everybody to have everything we want and do whatever we say and bark at our command. Well, you can go bark at the moon every once in a while and it ain't going to do nothing. I realize every once in a while we're tired. Well, I've earned that right. Look at all Jesus earned, and he served everybody. He was the king of the universe. Now, let me give you three thoughts, and I'll quickly get through this so that the bleeding stops. Number one, everything about Jesus on earth was humble, but everything that he did was amazing. Everything about Jesus on earth was humble, but everything he did was amazing. He was born humbly. He was born in a barn. Now, some of you act like you lived in a barn, but he wasn't a public media figure. The media wasn't always in his face, and he wasn't a popular person. The only popularity about him was that he was helping so many people. The media didn't show up at his birth, and who's the prince over in England and his wife? I can't think of their names. What is it? I don't know. It's Diana's son that's... Charles. No, not Charles, the other one. His son. William, that's it. He's got two kids. Good night. The whole world knows what they wear. They know how many times the diaper's been changed. They know what color the diaper was and everything else. Good night. That wasn't Jesus. And by the way, those are only little princes. He's the King of Kings. You say, who came to his birth? Some animals and a few shepherds. Watching their flocks at night. They say, wow, look at that. We heard about that. Let's go see it. And they walked in. Just some shepherds. By the way, shepherds were the lowest men on the totem pole in the workforce. So he was born humbly. Number two, he lived humbly. He was known as the carpenter's son. By the way, he wasn't known as Mary's son. He was known as the carpenter's son. We'll hit that next week. he was a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Can I tell you something else about how humbly he lived? As an adult, he was homeless. The Bible says that he didn't have a place to lay his head. Oh, my soul. Nobody believed that he was the Messiah. Nobody wanted to believe he was the Messiah. Can you imagine growing up in the home with Jesus as your older brother? when he's, and Mary and Joseph knew that he was the Son of God, so whatever he said was the truth. I imagine his brothers and sisters were lying about him, but, well, you never believe that Jesus did anything wrong. They're right. Can you imagine being one of his brothers or sisters? That's a bummer, man. He lived humbly. Next, he served humbly. You know that the scripture talks about the day when Jesus came and washed his disciples' feet. Brother Scott, I love you, but I ain't washing your stinking feet. Yeah, buddy. You know, that's a pretty rough job. Can I tell you something? He washed their feet, and Peter said, well, if you're going to be that, then just clean all of me. He said, all of you is already clean. I ain't giving you a bath. I'm just washing your feet. He washed his disciples' feet. He walked with, talked with, and ate with sinners. He didn't eat with the kings and the queens and the princes and the politicians. He ate with sinners. That's why they didn't want to believe he was the Messiah. He would do things for people and say, now don't go telling everybody what I did. Just keep it to yourself. Now, they never obeyed that, usually. They went and told everybody. I won't tell you what gender it was. but he didn't want a lot of attention. So he served humbly, and may I say this, he died humbly. Crucifixion was not a, it was a punishment. It would be like an electrocution or a, what do they do that, lethal injection is today. It was quite humiliating. If you read the crucifixion account, they stripped him naked. They beat him with cat of nine tails. They ripped his beard out. They beat him with sticks. They spit in his face. They nailed him to a cross and he hung there for 9 hours in public. That's real humbling, isn't it? The religious crowd, the political crowd, are the ones that cheered for him to be killed. Release a murderer and give us Jesus. That's a bit humbling. Everything about the life of Jesus here lived on earth was that of a humble servant. Did you know that Jesus could have stopped it that quick? But he didn't. He didn't come to be king, he came to be savior. He came to serve, not be served. So, everything about Jesus on earth was humble, but all that he did was more than amazing. Number two, people chose to follow him, he did not force them to follow. I find nowhere in scripture where he made anybody follow him. There were times he would say, follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. And he just kept going. People followed him because of not who he was, but what he was doing. He went about doing good. Can I tell you something? What an epitaph for somebody. He went about doing good. He did the things that others wanted, but he didn't force them to learn or to follow. He just did them. And people said, man, I could do that. I'd like to do that. He healed six people. He didn't force them to follow him. Matter of fact, many of them never did. They came, got healed, left, never came back. Many didn't even thank him. He carried burdens of people, but he didn't force them to follow. Matter of fact, many of them he just sent back. He went into a graveyard one day for a maniac in Gadara. The guy was demon-possessed, filled with devils, cutting himself with knives and chains and breaking chains. And the disciples found him clothed, sitting in his right mind next to Jesus, and Jesus talking to him. He said, look, I'm going to leave everything and I'm going to come follow you. And he said, no, go home to thy friends. You just go back. You'll do more. You go back. Your changed life will change other people's lives. You go back. Yes. He allowed those he loved to run away and quit. He didn't force them to follow at Calvary. They all ran away. They all forsook him. They quit the ministry. How about that, Catholics, with your first pope being Peter? He quit the ministry, went cussing and went back to the fishing business. And I still don't understand. He had a mother-in-law. And if he didn't have a wife and he had a mother-in-law, he ain't real bright. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that, but I did. That's right. I love my mother-in-law. I do. But may I say this? People chose to follow him. You know, you never one time in Scripture find anybody being forced to follow Jesus. Nowhere. When his disciples, matter of fact, he was walking on the sea one night and there was a storm, and they said it was a ghost. And the Bible says that he would have passed by. He was just walking from one side of the lake to the other on top of the water, and he was going to walk right past them. And then they started complaining. They changed doctrine and believed in ghosts. These are the guys that turned the world upside down with the doctrine, just so you know. They got it right eventually. And the Bible says he would have passed by. He would have walked right by them, not said a word. They called for him. Then he stopped. He lived humbly. He didn't force people to follow him. Number three, I'll be done. Let's love like Christ in our love relationships. Let's love like Christ in our love relationships. Marriages are not contracts. They're love relationships. Hate to disappoint everybody. It's not a contract you sign. Did you know in marriage you're supposed to serve one another? Say, yeah, she does everything for me. No, that's you being served. What are you doing for her? Well, I go work and I make all the money. That's not serving. That's making a living. We got done with lunch this afternoon. You know what I did? I got up. I started rinsing the dishes off and putting them in the dishwasher. Not just mine. Hers, and the ones that were cooked in. You say, why? Because she cooked, it was my turn, and it's always my turn to help clean up. I'm not there to cook it, but I can eat it real good. I might as well help clean it up. Now, there was a day when my kids did all the cleanup, because they needed to learn how to do that kind of stuff. My kids are gone, I'm not asking her to do it all. I can mess up things real good. So I help. You can ask my wife. I do. I try to always make sure that I get her drink. I know the signs when dinner's almost ready. I know the clanking of the plates, and I know the different noises that are going on. And I usually come up just before it's ready so that I can say, what would you like to drink? Can I get yours? And I'll pour her drink. Make sure that she's got it. You say, why? Because I want to serve her too. Everybody doing all right? We're supposed to meet each other's needs and be helped by each other. That doesn't mean if somebody doesn't meet what you want, that they're being a bad person. You're to look after their needs and not worry about yours. Let's love our children as Christ showed us. You say, well, my kids don't always do right. No. I had Josh, remember? Now, wait a minute. Did you know you're supposed to serve your children too? Teach them to follow right principles, not just follow you. I know some parents that do a bad disservice. The only person your kids will obey is you. Be careful. They need to learn to obey all authority.
That's right. Amen.
They need to learn to follow the teacher, even if you don't think the teacher was right.
Yep.
I've stood up for teachers that I know were dead wrong. But because the teacher said do it that way, I said you do it as the teacher said. Doesn't matter what I think right now. Now, behind the scenes, I was saying, I'm going to fix that teacher. But my kids never knew. They never knew I did, never told them. Teach them to follow right principles, not just follow you. Serve with them. Teach them by example. Teach your kids to serve. Teach them to go out and do things. We worked bus routes together. We went soul winning together. I taught my kids how to do those things, and I got them under people that they could serve with that were the right kind of people. Teach them to serve. My son Jeff, he's 22. Is that right? He's getting ready. I'm getting better. I'm not stuttering as long. Time's passing too fast. He's been kind of going job to job to job to job for a while, but I've known for a long time where he's probably headed. He told my wife and I just last week, as soon as they have applications open, he's going to apply to work for the Lexington, Kentucky Police Force. I'm happy for him. My wife and I were talking, and I said, look, he's going to spend his life serving people. What an honorable thing. What an honorable thing. It's just dangerous. I said, good night. Driving to work every day is dangerous. And maybe more dangerous because at least he's got a gun able to use it. Serve with them. Teach them by example to serve. Fellas, teach your children to serve your wife. Teach them to do it by them watching you do it and them helping you do it. I used to take my boys Christmas shopping for Mama. Man, was that always fun. Sometimes my wife got the dumbest gifts, but the kids thought she'd like it. It's okay. She did. She still got some of those stupid things that I'm going to have to throw out or move again. Amen? It wasn't the gift. It was the child wanting to do something for Mama. Well, Mom could do it faster. She might be able to do it faster, but that kid's going to have to learn to do it to his wife someday. She better let him learn. Realize that we're to give ourselves in love relationships. Did you know we're supposed to give ourselves in our friendships? Yes, sir. As pastor and people, I'm to give myself to you, not expect to be given to. You all are very kind. Don't take this the wrong way. But I don't look for things to be given. I look for ways to give. And it's fun. It's great. I won't tell you who. You wouldn't know them. And it doesn't matter, even if you guessed. So you can guess all you want. I'm not going to tell you either way. But I recently had a pastor call and was concerned that his church wasn't going to give him a big enough Christmas gift this year. I refrained. But I did word it a little differently than I'll word it to you. I said, how about what are you giving them for Christmas? Now, that was my refrained version. What I wanted to say is, how about you give your church a Christmas gift and resign and give them a real pastor? That's what I wanted to say. Honestly. I didn't, but I had skid marks on my tongue. It was right there. I said, how about you not worry about what you get? How about you worry about what you give? Well, I'm teaching them how to give by giving to me. I said, and you're awful arrogant. I said, how about you give to them? I said, how about you get up and say you don't want anything? You just want them to go out and do something for God. Give something to each other. I don't want anything from you. I was humbled yesterday. Had 6 or 7 of our men up on my roof yesterday putting shingles on my roof. And I had a couple other men saying, preacher, I'm sorry I couldn't be there. It's a good thing we didn't. I'm not sure the roof could have handled any more. I'm not touching that. I had Scott and Evan on that roof. I had to put them on opposite sides to make sure they were whoomp through, amen? Now, I say that to say it really was humbling. It really was. It was hard for me. But I'm on a little time crunch, and I got to the point, and I don't know how to do that kind of stuff. Now, I know it's not rocket science, but you got to start it right, or you're in trouble. And I just needed some help. But I never forced anybody to do it. And I always said, if you can't, it's fine. Can I tell you something? It's humbling to me. I'd rather serve those men. Now, I made sure I fed them well. I stopped and got one of those King stuffed pizzas. Glory to God. Yeah, I want to make, but I didn't want to put too much food in them because I needed them to get the work done, and I didn't want them falling through the roof or falling asleep up there on a full belly. I really did want to help that pastor. I think I did. It was a new concept to that person. I don't want anything. I want to give. I want to give more. I want to do more for you. That's what I want. You know, if I must rule, I want to rule with you. I don't want to rule over you. Brother Mike, I have no desire to rule over you. I just want to rule with you. I want to serve God together, grow old and spit and whittle together, talk about people getting saved and lives changed and see what God did through it. Brother Scott, I want to be an old man someday. You be a younger old man. It's pretty bad when he was the youngest guy on the roof most of the day. Man, was I feeling old. I want to sit down someday and us talk about our grandkids and stuff and what God's doing and what God's done with us all these years. I look forward to that. I can sit down with the old man back there, Fred. He's already old. I got to do spit and whittle with him now because he ain't going to be there forever. They say the wicked never die young, so we got 20 more years at least. Now, wait a minute. I have no desire to rule over. I want to rule with. I got to get tough in business every once in a while with bankers or engineers or whatever, but they'll tell you I'm not a mean person. When I say I get tough, I'm really not that tough. I'll be very pointed, but I'm never mean, never have a bad attitude. Now, if I need somebody cussed out, I'll call the banker and let him do it because he'll do it for me. He's one of those guys that cusses about every other word. And about every fourth time he does it, he remembers who he's talking to. Oh, preacher, I'm sorry. I finally got to the point. One day I said, now, Jeff, there's some things I need to say, but I can't say them the way you would to these people. He said, let me call them. I'll tell them. I said, yeah, but I got to be able to get my building built first. Then you can call them, all right? You know, if we must rule, let's rule together. Let's not rule over. You know, if Brother Barnes teaches your children in Sunday school or Brother Stoltz does, and then someday you're leading somebody that is in his family, can I tell you something? Don't try to get back at somebody because they didn't lead like you would lead. That's baby stuff. Oh, I see it. I see it a lot. Let's learn to love even as. I call it even as Christmas love. He came to be Savior. Not king. Guess what? When he becomes your savior, he'll come back as king and we will rule with him, not be ruled over by him. Amen. What a wonderful example of what we should be in our homes, in our church, in our friendships. Let's rule with, not rule over. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done.